You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yes, welcome back to 95BFM. You're tuned into The Wire. We'll now bring a piece to you about Ich Martau and the ongoing events out there. To start, we shall return to the 31st of July. Panya Newton, who is one of the lead members, if not the founder of Seoul, Save Our Unique Landscape, met with Minister Mahuta, that is Naya Mahuta of the Labour Party, as a designated spokesperson for the local Makaurau Marae, in an effort to find a resolution around the dispute of land at Ich Martau. The hui with the Māori Development Minister was labelled as positive and constructive, and that there would be another meeting again at a later date. The then acting Prime Minister, due to Jacinda Ardern's overseas absence, Kelvin Davis, was also in Auckland to join meetings about the dispute. Ich Martau as a topic was described by his office as fluid and delicate, as a fluid and delicate situation, and little details were provided. However, no decisions were made in the hui. At this point, the ongoing police presence was reducing. However, the land protectors stated it was clear that trust was still not there. Newton was quoted as saying, "They're reducing their numbers. They're now actually coming on our side to make sure we don't get hassled. But that doesn't mean to say we should be relaxed. They are still representatives of the Crown." A mandated iwi group, or Te Kawero Iwi Tribunal, Tribal Authority, have been on site to negotiate between the land protectors and the police. The group are on record as supporting the development, having made a deal with Fletcher Building to have 8 hectares of land returned to their people. Also in support of the particular deal was the Kingitanga, who that day announced their visit on Saturday. Kingitanga said he would go to listen and to help find a resolution in order to, quote, for, quote, mana whenua of Ich Martau, to engage in a process to have their issues fully resolved. This was seen by some as an event which signified a turn of pace in negotiations. So, on that Saturday, those out at Ich Martau did indeed see the visit of King Tuatea, along with an entourage of 400 people, to listen to mana whenua and support their support parties. A representative of the Marae, Tahinga Wilson, said they were grateful for the visit of the King. Newton elaborated on Seoul's uncertainty of the King's position and stated that they were hopeful that they could move forward to a solution. Kai Kōrero of both parties discussed the history of the site, along with which is difficulty of the situation, and so discussing the pasts and how that had affected both parties. There was a mooting for a proposed hui, and that was accepted, with Newton saying, "For us, we support a tikanga process and are honoured, proud and privileged for Kingitanga and Waikato Tainui to be willing to start the process for us. The hui is set to not include the government nor Fletcher Building and was mooted to be before the 14th of August. And that drew us to the close of that Saturday. The next day saw the movement of the front line at Ich Martau, which was formerly positioned at the intersection of Ich Martau Quarry Road and Oruarangi Road, to roughly 50 metres further down Ich Martau Quarry Road. This moved it past the previous police-guarded front line and the police headquarters on site. A number of tents also progressed further into the fields occupied by the police, breaching a line that a dozen or so officers were holding earlier in the week. There was a planned hikoi up the maunga, and the protectors of the land were under the impression that they would be allowed past police to get there via the closed road. Access to the maunga was made and some went up for a ceremony. However, Sunday also brought around some other news. Sunday saw a video circulating on social media as well as other places on the internet of the New Zealand police force carrying arms. And when say arms, we refer to weapons. Police said that the officers were merely removing the firearms from the two police cars that were behind the cordons at Ich Martau to be driven safely off-site. They were stating that the officers were not armed, but had access to the firearms in case of an emergency. This, however, raised questions for the protectors as to why guns were ever on site and to what emergency at Ich Martau would guns ever be relevant or necessary for. This furthered calls for the removal of the police from the site. There have been calls that arms have been present on the site since this video also. I approached Police Minister Stuart Nash, however, had no reply for the comment. Yesterday, another story emerged with regards to First Security, who have garnered the label of being Fletcher's soft police. Organised Aotearoa, a political group who have provided support over the course of the occupation, engaged with First Security workers during the hikoi across the fields. OA, after this, that's Organised Aotearoa, after this encounter released a press release claiming that First Security workers were being forced to work in unsafe and unhealthy conditions. I approached them for comment and started by asking what First Security were doing on site. Their representative, Kate McIntyre, made it clear that they were speaking on behalf of their organisation, that is Organised Aotearoa's experience only, and not on behalf of Mana Whenua and Seoul.
Many of them are just precarious workers, like in very precarious employment situations. So we're talking about students and migrant workers. And as someone who's gone through WINS myself, I know for a fact that people are referred to First Security through WINS. They're on very low wages. They're pretty much just paid to stand around. So far, the ones at the Whenua have they haven't touched kaitiaki. They don't even know what's going on, a lot of them. So our observers who went on yesterday, one of the first things they asked us was, what's even going on? Like, what's the situation here? No one told them about the politics of the situation. So they've just been sitting around completely in the dark about the politics of the land that they're defending. So the best thing that we can do is educate them, because they're under no obligation to work when their health and safety is at risk like that. But they don't know their rights. And so that's what we've been trying to do, is raise awareness of the conditions they're being kept in and educate them on their rights.
So what conditions are they currently experiencing?
So they've been sleeping in a milking shed with broken windows, and they're sleeping on scavenged mattresses from Kaitiaki Village. We know that temperatures can drop really low, below 5 degrees at night. So they're probably, I would imagine, very cold. There hasn't been any electricity or running water since Kaitiaki were evicted from the village. Kaitiaki know where we can get water and where we can bring the tanks of water from, but they don't know where the water is. So it seems to us that they've been drinking from a nearby rainwater tank that was set up by Kaitiaki in the summer. It was meant for watering the plants, and it's really not suitable for drinking. We couldn't see any toilets. Those we spoke to had been promised meals by First Security, but they have been told by the company that they have to provide their own food now, and they haven't been provided any meals for a week. So we've observed that First Security workers have been cooking over open fires with cans of food. Pots and pans have been scavenged from Kaitiaki Village. They don't have anything to... They've just been holding the pot over the open fire, which is not a suitable way to cook anything. And they have no means to clean their dishes. And so we're very concerned that they'll be at risk of rodents coming to where they're living, where they're staying, because rats have definitely been spotted around the Whenua in the past. And there's a lot of spoiled food around and dirty dishes. This is just completely shocking. I've never seen anything like it personally.
Certainly. And as you noted before, this doesn't seem to be the only issue with their position on the Whenua. How much of an issue do you think it is that the First Security workers are not informed of the political context in which they are going to operate in?
I think they're being deliberately kept in the dark, because that Fletcher's and First Security are relying on their ignorance and their fear that they might get laid off or fired if they complain about their working conditions or complain about what they're being used for. That's being exploited. So it's in everyone's best interest that these security workers are educated about the situation and also educated on their rights.
That was Organise Aotearoa's representative, Kate McIntyre, speaking on the treatment of First Security workers at Ihamatau. I then, after this, contacted First Security for comment after a pleasant phone and email exchange. I was given their freshly written press comment, which reads as following. First Security rejects the misleading allegations made by Organise Aotearoa outright. The well-being of our employees is our top priority. We have always and will always treat our workers fairly and transparently. This commitment is supported by the strong relationships we have with our clients and associated union groups. The statements made in the press release issued by Organise Aotearoa on the 6th of August 2019 is in relation to working conditions of First Security employees at Ihamatau. They are misleading and untrue. No First Security staff sleep on site. Clean drinking water is provided to all staff, as well as access to toilets, which are provided by the landowner, Fletcher Building. Uniforms are provided to security staff, including all necessary personal protective equipment for the environment in which they are working, which includes gear to keep them warm and dry. Security staff are provided with a half-hour paid lunch break while on shift. Meals are not always provided and are not included as part of the employment contract with First Security. However, given the location of the site and the unique situation at Ihamatau, meals and snacks have often been provided by both First Security and Fletcher Building. Staff are present 24 hours a day, but work in shifts, so again, they are not sleeping on site. Any leftover food, cans, pots, pans, litter, and fire sign was already on site when First Security arrived. Our staff are under strict instructions not to interfere or move anything on the whenua. We will continue to work with our clients and partners to create safe, clean, comfortable working environments everywhere we operate, including at Ihamatau. So this statement can reject some of the claims that are made within OA's press release and interview. So it was interesting to see these contradictions. I then reached out to Fletcher's, perhaps pushing my luck by not initially directly referring to Ihamatau. However, I thought it would be interesting to see Fletcher's approach to security on other sites, to see it in proportion to that on Ihamatau. Here is Fletcher's press kind of correspondent in response to my initial interview request or discussion.
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a spokesperson available. I think you would have seen on this particular topic, we haven't put a spokesperson up for nearly 2 weeks on Ihamatau. So certainly, you know, won't be to put it. We don't have anyone available to speak on this this particular topic today. We're just trying to come up with a couple of lines that we can send out, so I can flick that to you if you let me know your email address.
Yeah, I can give you that. I was just also wondering, just in general, about security on sites. How important it is to have security guards on site for Fletcher's and what it means for the contractor's safety on site to have protection, etc.
Yeah, we don't have any contractors on site.
I mean, say,
nothing happening on site.
Not specific to Ihamatau, but just in general, like overnight to make sure that nothing goes wrong on site. Like not necessarily Ihamatau, but any others on site as well.
What sort of sites? Because as you can imagine, we've got hundreds of sites around New Zealand.
Oh. Say, for example, the Sky City Convention Centre that has... Is that a Fletcher's contract?
It is, yeah.
Do you have security firms on site, like there, overnight, to make sure nothing goes wrong, etc.?
I'm not too sure. I'll have to come back to you.
That was the response from Fletcher's building, or Fletcher Building's kind of press secretary, kind of insistent on mentioning Ihamatau despite nowhere in the interview request the topic of Ihamatau being brought up, obviously front of the mind there. However, this plot then became secondary as events last night unfolded. Protectors of the land said that the New Zealand police force, quote, unnecessarily increased their presence here in Ihamatau earlier today. We had been having discussions with them about de-escalation, reducing police numbers, reducing kaitiaki numbers, and reconfiguring our reclamation here, given we are in the early stages of discussion to seek a resolution. However, this is outside of the quote, just before 7 p.m, as preparations began for the evening whakamoe miti and karakia, more than 100 police and 2 police vehicles moved onto the whenua, separating the new front line that was founded on Sunday and from the Ate area where the kind of older front line was positioned. Protectors, from the analysis of video footage, remained peaceful, passive, and positive, despite the fear caused by the movements. 400 people then joined in support of the land protectors within an hour following a call out for support. After a 5-hour quote-unquote standoff, Kaitiaki reclaimed the road and the police then agreed to de-escalate by removing their vehicles and excess staff, while evening karakia and himene were allowed to continue. As of now, police numbers have reduced on site and the National Day of Action, which was planned for today, continues, including a picket line at Fletcher's building earlier today.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.